Today's feast, next week's feast, are feast days that are very theological, and so the homilies are a little bit different. We get into a little bit deeper subject matter, a little bit deeper ways to speak of these things. Of this feast, or not even of this feast, but of all Christian doctrine, Cardinal John Henry Newman tells us something very remarkable. He says that we don't just get our doctrine all finished. It is something that is like a seed that is planted. And for him, he compares it to a river. And even with all the floods that we are experiencing in this spring on the Mississippi, if you would go to Lake Estaca, you could still step over the mouth of the Mississippi River. It's basically the same river. Despite all the twists and the turns, the floods, the droughts, it grows larger, it can grow smaller. The same river that I traversed over more than a couple times this past week because I took kind of a wandering route down to Florida. It's the same river. Up here in the north, it's contained within the bluffs. It's very beautiful. Down south, it's just levees. If it floods down south, it floods for miles because there's nothing to contain it. But it's the same river. And so our doctrine is the same, and the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is the same. It has been revealed to us. It is something that we could never come up with, no matter how intelligent, no matter what graces of reason we might have. If it hadn't been revealed, there is no way that human intellect alone would come up with the doctrine of the Trinity. But once it has been revealed, now it can be added to, it can be developed and deepened. And just like a great tributary that flows into the Mississippi, the Wisconsin, the Ohio, sometimes along comes a great thinker, and they add to the doctrine. Other times, it's things just living the life of it, and it's like a small creek that goes into it, maybe not even hardly noticed, but yet it adds to the river. All of this is designed and directed by the Holy Spirit, gradually leading the truth into all leading the church into all truth. But the foundation of this doctrine is a mystery, as I said, that we could never come up with. It's something that we will never totally grasp. We will never understand in its completeness. But because we are made in the image and likeness of God, the more we can know about God as God, the more we know who we are as human beings. And for that reason, it is important, because we are made in the image and likeness of God. When we look at sacred scripture, we see that the term Trinity is never used. Old Testament, New Testament, it's not in there. And so some people have looked at that and said, well, then that's something that's just been made up. But when we read sacred scripture, as we are called to, in the light of Jesus Christ, we see that although that term might not be there, the thought is there. When God made Adam, he said, let us make him in our image. Wisdom was there before God, with God, before there was anything. When the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he set the limits of the seas, made the skies, set the foundations of the world, I was beside him as his craftsman, and I found delight in the human race. God found so much delight in us that he became one of us. He was born, he died, and he rose for us so that we could be with him for all eternity. And although St. Paul did not use the word Trinity either in all of his writings, he does speak of the three persons of God. God accomplishes the work of our salvation, and we enter into this by faith. We do not earn salvation by anything that we might do. What we do is a response of the gift of faith. And we open our hearts to that healing power of God through the grace of the sacraments that we receive. And this allows us to boast, but to boast in God's glory, in hope, and also to boast in our afflictions, in our weaknesses, because it is in our weaknesses that we can truly experience God's glory. And it is in our weaknesses and afflictions that we can grow in perfection. If we simply try to rely on our own abilities, our own strength, our own intellect, we're going to be found wanting. But when we allow the love of God to be poured into our hearts, when we allow the Holy Trinity to dwell with us, it changes how we look at the world. It changes how we even see ourselves. In our Gospels, Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of God. This was completely opposed to the Jewish way of thinking, because for them, God was this all-powerful, totally distant being. He would give orders, and he would expect those orders to be followed. But Jesus comes, and he calls God Abba, Papa, like a little child calling out to their grandfather, Papa, Dada. That intimacy in that term is what we are called to live in our relationship with God. In our gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to send the Spirit of truth. He tells them, everything the Father has is mine, and he will take from what is mine and share it with you. We see the Spirit already at work in the life of Christ. It was the disciples who were limited. They had to know Christ first as man so that they could understand who he was when they came to know him as God. And then after he ascended into heaven, he opens their hearts to the Spirit. The work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three independent courses. They are united, a willing submission and a willing sharing, acting as one in a communion of love. And we are called to act as one as well, because we are made in that image and likeness. We come into this world as a community. We all have a mom and a dad. Many of us have brothers and sisters. And although some families are very strong, some families are divided and broken. But we all have the very core of what it is to be a community. And our faith comes from a family. Jesus himself came to live in the Holy Family. It wasn't required. Jesus is God. If he wanted just to show up, he could have just showed up. He could have done some things and just shown that he was who he says he is, forcing others to believe in him, but he doesn't. He comes as a family. He wanted to become one of us, to experience what it is to be in a family. He found delight in the human race, and he does all of this within the bounds of the Holy Family, a family that has lived in love and communion. So we see that the Trinity does truly matter. Just as I said earlier, sometimes there are great tributaries that flow into the river. Sometimes there are great thoughts that flow into doctrine. And St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Hilary of Poitiers are two great doctors of the church that add to our understanding of the Holy Trinity. St. Hilary lived in the 4th century, so we see he was one who came along a little bit later. He teaches us that God is the creator of all things, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But each one has their own proper operation. The Father brings all things into being, and all things are brought into being by the Son. And in the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift of perfect hope. The three of them, a perfect union. Jesus tells us, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine. He will be our guide to understanding. Since our weak minds are limited and we cannot comprehend the Father or the Son, we have been given the Holy Spirit to be our intermediary, to be our advocate, to shed light on this hard doctrine of our faith, the incarnation of God. St. Hilary tells us that the Spirit is the light of the mind. And just like our physical eyes cannot work if we do not have light, our ears cannot hear if we do not have the vibrations going through the air, our nostrils cannot smell if there is no odor. Without the Spirit, our minds have the capacity to know God, but we cannot. We have the ability, but we need the light. This is all the unique gift of God, a gift which is in Christ, offered to every one of us in its fullness. It is available everywhere, but it is given to each one in proportion to their readiness to receive it. This presence is more true. The greater our desire, the more we will experience this. And this gift will remain with us until the end of the world. and it will be our comfort in the times of trial by the favors it bestows. It is the pledge for our hope for the future, the light for our minds, the splendor that irradiates our understanding. That is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. And it is into this mystery that we are called and invited to live in that mystery of the Trinity, a communion of love lived between persons. Living in His image and in His likeness, we strive to know not just more about God, but we simply strive to know God better. Him who loved us so much that He sent His only Son. And we will close with the great Trinitarian prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The parish council will meet this Thursday at 5 p.m. at the Fellowship Hall, St. John's, and scrip will be sold after Mass.
And there will be no Mass at St. Gabriel's on Thursday morning. We've got the funeral for Ruth Bruss will be at 11 o'clock at St. John's. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.